This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
Everyone all set, cocked, locked. Here we go. Your dial set correctly to USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Jason is engineering the broadcast in Minnesota. I'm Vincent Finelli, and we may be able to take a few calls. And so if you have the number, you can give us a call. And if you'd like to listen on the telephone listen line, 605-477-3249. Dr. Richard Allen Miller is with us. Welcome, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Yeah.
Rick, if it's okay with you, before we get into today's discussion regarding Newspeak, I think it'd be great to give a tip on how to save money. Is that okay with you? It has to do with physics.
Sure.
So, okay. So, class, most of us buy gasoline. And I was thinking about the hot weather. And here's a really simple tip for you. And this will save money for you every time you buy gas. Now, assuming that you find the lowest price gasoline station and you buy the correct grade of gasoline for your car, assuming you do all that, then this next step applies. And all you have to do is pay attention when you go to buy gas. So all liquids have something in common except for one, and that would be water. So take water out of this equation. But all other liquids expand when they are warmed and get smaller in terms of volume when they're cooled. So, for example, gasoline, if you were to have a gallon jug, and you put a line, you say, okay, this is exactly 1 gallon. And gallon is by volume, it's not by weight. And you fill up this, you know, like a wine jug, for example. And you fill that up to the line with gasoline. And you do that when it's cold. And then you warm it up in the sun. And you put the cap on it to make sure none evaporates. You'll find that the gasoline would rise above that line as it gets warmer. So if you know that, and if you believe that that's true, by the way, is that true, Rick?
I don't know, but I do know that we get most of our gasoline from Canada and Mexico, not Saudis.
Okay. So when you buy gasoline, what you do is you buy it early in the morning, and you try to avoid buying gasoline when from gas stations that have tanks outside. Because if they have the tanks outside, the gasoline bakes in the sun and it expands. So when you buy a gallon of it, you get, we'll call it, less dense gasoline. But if you buy it early in the morning, when the gasoline has not had a chance to warm up, you'll get more gasoline for your dollar. Does that make sense, Rick?
Well, unless they add alcohol, then it goes downhill from there. Roughly 19 gallons of gasoline can be refined from a barrel of oil, which contains around 42 gallons of crude oil. But, you know, who cares?
All right. So what you do is the gasoline you buy should come from underground tanks, because that way it's cool to about 55 to 60 degrees all the time. And you want to avoid buying gasoline when that tanker is delivering the gasoline to the gas station. And the reason for that is normally the sun is baking the gasoline tanker truck, so the gasoline is being warmed up. And then That's one part of it. So you get less gasoline for your dollar when you do that. The next thing that's bad is when they dump that gasoline out of that 3-inch hose into the 5,000 underground tank or above ground tank, it causes turbulence and it puts into suspension all the debris at the bottom of the tank. So when you pump the gasoline, you get that debris in your tank, which will clog up your fuel filter. So that's another thing that you want to do. You want to avoid buying gasoline while or just after the gas station has had a delivery. The next thing you want to do is never let your fuel tank get below a quarter of its capacity. And the reason for that is you will have sludge and a little bit of moisture in your fuel tank and some debris. And if you let your fuel tank get low, you will start sucking up more and more of that on the filter at the bottom of your fuel tank, which most cars and trucks have electric fuel pumps. And when that clogs up, there is no replacing many of them. You have to replace the fuel pump, which means you have to take the gas tank out. Now, in some vehicles, that means that you take the bed off the truck. And I'm not exaggerating. So you get six guys, you unbolt the bed, you lift the bed off, and then you can get to the gasoline tank and unscrew the cap to put in the new gas pump, fuel pump and fuel filter. So if you avoid all that by not letting your gas gauge get below a quarter of a tank. And the idea behind some of that is the debris in the tank gets picked up by the fuel filter in the tank, and also the gasoline in the tank cools the electric pump. So as the electric pump gets hotter and hotter and hotter, it wears out faster and faster and faster. Any comments about that, Rick?
Well, no. I mean, you know, it all makes sense other than what happens to the sludge at the bottom of the tank. Do you have to worry about that?
Well, it stays there. It stays there until it's removed. And how is it removed? Well, it attaches itself to the fuel filter at the bottom of the fuel pump. And that's a problem. So what can happen is you can drive along, and then all of a sudden your car stumbles, and then it won't go. You know, the engine won't run. And then you scratch your head, you look under the hood, and you say, well, battery's still there, the belts are still there. Well, look, everything looks okay, and then you scratch your head a little longer, and you get on your cell phone, and you make a few phone calls, and 20 minutes later, you go, well, let's try it again. And you go start the engine, and it starts right up. And that's because the fuel, the slight motion in the tank, just lifted off a little bit of the debris so that you could get some fuel being picked up by the fuel filter, and then you're good for another 20 minutes until it stalls again. So that was one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, before we get into... Well, a lot of people, we learned about the moon landing, but what about before the moon landing or the alleged moon landing? What about what happened before that? Remember in the 1930s, we were interested in putting a satellite in space, and, well, we weren't very good at rocketry, so we sent a few spies over to Europe, and we were able to copy some of... Wernher von Braun's designs, and we brought them back to the United States. As a matter of fact, his rocket was called the V rocket or the V1. So we copied that design and made a rocket. Do you remember that?
No, I thought it was Stanley Kubrick that did that.
Okay. Well, I thought it was.
You think so? I mean, he came out and said he did. Right?
Well, that was in like the 80s, right?
And now they're preparing the same capsule to do a reflight back to the moon. Did you see that article yesterday?
I did. And there's a lot of discussion about this. That's why I thought we should set the record straight. So Wernher von Braun was experimenting with rocketry in Germany in the 1930s. And he was having some success, but some of the rocket... Well, actually, his trajectory is a little different than what we needed. His trajectory is like from one city to another, or the countryside to a city. And the idea was to put an explosive on the tip of the rocket, launch it, and when it landed, it would explode. And, you know, like England was, you know, one of his favorite destinations. So, I mean, that was the plan. Well, so we couldn't build rockets worth a darn, so we copied his design. And we had to modify it because we didn't want the rocket to go like a bullet would travel, you know, horizontally. We wanted it to go straight up. So we built what was called the McKinley rocket. And it was named after, well, we couldn't name it after Werner von Braun because he wasn't an American. So we named it the McKinley rocket. And it was named because Mount McKinley is about 3.8 miles above sea level. So all we had to do was get this rocket to go, you know, 5,781 times higher than Mount McKinley. That's all we had to do. And the interesting thing was, what would we put on top of this rocket? Well, we were going to build our first satellite, but it really wasn't an electronic satellite. It was just like a repeater. Actually, it was a reflector. Remember that? Remember how we built the first satellite called Echo?
I don't remember any of that. I thought it was Sputnik, and it was the Russians. And that's
yeah,
why
the Russians,
we were on a
that's,
race
that's,
of some kind. Don't
that's
you remember
right.
we were trying to see who could get there first? But I remember seeing the moon one day with a big black eye when that missile hit it. And I don't remember whatever happened after that.
Well,
something
that's a
about
really,
Germans
that's
or something.
That's a really good point, because now if you look at the images on the Internet, you don't see that black spot. It's gone. It seems to be erased. Now I'm sure they can do that with Photoshop, right?
Well, I don't know. I thought it was Nikita Khrushchev, yeah.
Well, I remember him. I remember
yeah,
him.
He always got bang his, his slipper or whatever it was on the gavel to get everybody's attention. Bang his shoe.
Yeah, you're
bang,
talking.
Bang,
you're
bang.
Talking about. But that was in the 50s. That's
oh.
That was when he was at the United Nations, and he said he would. He said he would bury us. He took his shoe off and he pounded his heel like bam, 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 bam on the table at the United Nations in New York City. Which Rockefeller, by the way, gave the land to the United Nations. He's the guy that started that whole mess. Yeah, Rockefeller gave the land.
I didn't know so, that.
Yeah. So anyway, so the McKinley rocket, what we wanted to do was put a reflector, if you will, kind of like a mirror, but not really a mirror for visual, a mirror for electromagnetic waves. We wanted to send telecommunications. We wanted to send a signal. A radio signal up to the satellite. But it really wasn't a satellite. It was just a ball. And back then, back in the 30s, there was no plastic. Now, we did have aluminum, and aluminum was a pretty good reflector of radio waves. As a matter of fact, a lot of antennas, like television antennas, remember the TV antennas people used to have on their houses, and they would aim them at the big city so they could get, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC?
Yeah, you had to then adjust it. After you designed it and everything else, then you had to tweak it just to make it actually work.
Right, and they would have directors and reflectors. So some of the elements of these antennas, and they were gold anodized at one time, but before they were gold anodized, they were just plain old clear anodized, or they were just mill-finished aluminum. But they would have some of the elements which would be directors, which would direct the signal back to the active elements, and then there would be reflectors behind the active elements, and it would reflect the signal forward, so you would get gain, or you get more decibels of signal by these antennas. Well, they knew that that worked. So what they wanted to do was put something up in space that they could transmit a signal to, and in a different location on the Earth from the transmitter, they could receive that signal. And it was just simply like a reflector. And that was the plan. But the problem was they were going to use Bakelite. And that was invented by a guy named Bakelund. And it was like the, well, you remember Bakelite, right? It was resistant to heat. They made distributor caps and rotors out of Bakelite. But the problem was if they launched it in space, it would crack because of the vacuum in space. So that, boy, we're going to a break. We'll continue this.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Dr. Richard Allen Miller's with us, and we're talking about the first satellite that the United States was working on back in the 1930s. This is like historical information, if you want to call it that. And so in 1907, there was a gentleman by the name of Leo Baekeland, B-A-E-K-E-L-A-N-D. And he discovered that if he combined phenol and formaldehyde, he could make this hard substance that was a dielectric. And so he figured that this product could have a lot of uses. Well, when we wanted to put our first reflector in orbit, we were going to use Bakelite. But the problem with Bakelite is the Kestrel zone of the ionosphere would cause it to crack. It couldn't take the impact nor the vibration of the Kestrel zone. So what they decided to do, they wanted to use aluminum anyway. So they had to invent plastic. So that, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? You remember that, Rick, right? Necessity is the mother. That's why a lot of products come out of the space race and war, right? Necessity.
I thought that was just because we were looking on how to make plastic.
No, we needed the plastic. We needed the plastic because...
That was DuPont, I thought, wasn't it? He did everything in plastic.
Right, better living through chemistry.
That's right.
He had that on the back. You know, that was on his license plate. You know, if you rode around in the first state, which is known as Delaware, which is a tiny state. In some places, it's only 13 miles wide. But if you had a chance to see Governor Pete DuPont, his license plate said, better living through chemistry. But they had so many crashes with their tanker trucks, and so many people got killed, that they decided to take their name off the trucks. Because people would say, it's another DuPont truck causing a catastrophe. Superfund cleanups as a result of, you know, just those guys driving down the road and running into abutments. But anyway, so Bakelite was not the right substance, so they had to invent plastic. And what they did was they mixed plastic with aluminum dust, really almost the atomic level of aluminum dust. And that's Mylar. That's Mylar. And it's really strong. But the problem is, when they put it on top of the rocket, they couldn't leave it fully inflated. So they made a ball, kind of like maybe 3 feet in diameter. And they wanted to put that in space, in the Clark Belt. And the did you, by the way, didn't you have something to do with Arthur C. Clarke?
I'm outside, so I can't hear very good. Say again?
Didn't you have something to do with Arthur C. Clarke?
Well, no, it was Stranger in a Strange Land and neo-paganism and, you know, dropping out and becoming, and that's where I started all my whole thing when I was in grad school. When I came out of grad school, I joined the Church of All Worlds, started writing for Green Egg. Can you imagine?
The Green Egg. I thought the Green Egg was a like a barbecue type grill that had a ceramic material.
No, that was the one that was on the moon. That woman with that ray gun shot him. But no, it was Arthur C. Clarke, I think it was, the Stranger in a Strange Land, before Eating Raoul.
So what this aluminum Mylar, we'll call it a balloon, it had to be flat packaged. They just couldn't put a balloon on top of a rocket because it would break. So they put it in a flat package. But then when they got to the altitude that they wanted, which was in the Clark Belt, it was about 22,236 miles up. That's called the Clark Belt. And that's, if you put something at that distance from the Earth, it'll tend to stay there. Now it'll move forward, backward, left, right, east, west, a little bit up, down. But, you know, for a while it'll stay in place. And I thought that was the place to put this balloon, this reflector balloon. But the problem that they had was they couldn't inflate the balloon on the ground. They had to inflate it when it was right where they wanted it to be. So they had to invent a timer. And because we didn't have signals at that point that could transmit the telemetry information to launch the balloon and inflate the balloon. Jeez, we're out of time again. We'll continue this when we get back. Dr. Richard Allen Mills was, and we're talking about the first satellite, which was a reflector. Mylar. And the space race. And the Cold War. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
While Democrats claim that yesterday's appearances by the former special counsel in the Russia probe, Robert Mueller, before two House committees could still be a launching pad for an impeachment inquiry, the president's personal attorney, Jay Sekulow, says nothing new came out at those hearings. And he says,
it was interesting to me that these statements about, you know, Bob Mueller says we can't exonerate the president. Bob Mueller couldn't exonerate himself because the special counsel can't exonerate.
Ricardo Rosello says he will resign as governor of Puerto Rico on the 2nd of August. This demonstrator in San Juan saying,
it's not over. It's just the beginning. We're done with the governor, but we're coming back for more. There needs to be reform. There needs to be new government.
Rosello recently found to have said scandalous things about women, gays, and others in a series of messages with his associates. And this is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Watch it.
Oh, no, there's something happening.
This can be sliding.
What are today's hot
topics?
Today.
God, you're
take my.
When you go to
the for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
So maybe we're spending a little more time on the detail than we should, but I don't know how else to do this, Rick. So the problem was this balloon had to be inflated when it was at the right altitude, but it couldn't be inflated in the rocket. So what they did was they had a deflated balloon, and they decided that hydrogen was the gas that they should inflate the balloon with, because hydrogen, from what I remember, is the lightest substance on the planet. It's the most simple atom on the planet. Is that right, Rick?
Well, it's one of them. I know that in the periodic chart they have different weights, but I forget how Mendeleev did all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, okay, let's just assume that it's one of the lightest, okay? Now, they could have used helium, but helium is a little bit heavier than hydrogen. But hydrogen is explosive. So they were worried about when they inflated this balloon, it might actually explode, and the whole project would be wasted because of the explosion of this balloon. And that was the whole purpose, to put this balloon in space to act as a reflector in the Clark Belt. Well, so what they did was they sent up the balloon on the rocket, and they had to, at the right moment, the right second, they had to fill the balloon with this gas. So what they did was they looked at what kind of timers. I mean, we didn't have solid-state electronics back then, so they had a mechanical timer. And they looked to one of the world's most well-known timers, and that was Big Ben in London.
I thought it was Timex that kept on ticking.
Well, that's true. That's true. But Timex is a derivative of Westclox. And Westclox is spelled Westclox. And Westclox, for the government, developed what was called the Baby Ben. And that was a wind-up alarm clock with little bells on it. So you could set the time you wanted to wake up or what time you wanted the alarm to go off, and it would go off. But that made no sense in using that for this rocket. But what did make sense, instead of ringing the bell with a clapper, they had the clapper hit a switch. And the switch turned on a little circuit that had nichrome wire in it. And the nichrome wire heated up, and when it melted the retainer, the firing pin would launch against this little tiny cylinder of hydrogen. Remember when we used to make club soda with these little CO2 cylinders? They were little green cylinders, and they had these steel-encased, netted bottles, and you could make your own club soda. Did you ever do that?
I didn't, no. But I did remember doing the flat Earth experiment with the balloon.
Okay. Well, didn't you have to worry about the edge?
No, I just discovered that it was flat.
Okay. Well, actually, I guess it wouldn't make much difference. I suppose you wouldn't even need to even put this ball, this reflective ball, up in the Clark Belt, because the Earth is flat anyway. I mean, because the line of sight is the problem with communications. That's why we needed this reflector in the first place, because they thought, at that time, they thought the Earth was a sphere. And that's one of the reasons why they used a sphere. For the balloon.
And that's why the Buddhists,
but getting back to
their sangats up onto the highest mountains so they could get there quicker. I think that missing spacecraft that's on the other side of the moon is Buddhist. I think so. And worse, I think there's something else there. Maybe the Nazis. I saw something on Netflix like that.
Was it a documentary?
No, it was... I forget what it was. Something about Dr. Strangelove writing some kind of a missile with Slim Pickens.
Yeah, I remember. Didn't he ride that missile?
I mean, wasn't he on a convoy? Yeah, it was out of a rodeo or something.
Yeah, I remember that. So back to this little project that we worked on. Actually, it was a big project. It involved, everybody was watching us, all the countries throughout the world who had newspapers. We're following this story back in the 1930s. So what they did was they had this Baby Ben clock, and they had Westclock had to build a Baby Ben clock, and that was the timer. So they precisely set the time, knowing the launch velocity, so that at the right second, this Baby Ben alarm clock would go off, and it would throw the switch. And they had to have a battery. And they could, by the way, they couldn't use lead-acid batteries. Back then, car batteries and truck batteries were 6 volts, but they were lead-acid, and they had to have vent caps on them. And they couldn't use that because the acid would spill out in space and the battery wouldn't work. So they they had like a contest who could make a leak-proof battery. And, of course, there was the Eveready Battery Company and the Rayovac Battery Company and the Mallory Battery Company. And those three companies were in competition. But what happened was the Eveready leaked, the Mallory leaked, and what... the Rayovac leaked, the Mallory leaked, but what Eveready did was they came up with this plastic film. It was kind of a stretchy plastic film. And they lined the zinc casing of their... carbon zinc dry cell. They were called D cells back then, the letter D, as in David. They lined it with this plastic film. And today we call that saran wrap. Anyway, so it didn't leak, and they used these D cells. They had four of them, and they were 1.5 volts apiece. And in series, that was 6 volts, and that was enough to melt the retainer. Stalled back the firing pin so that the spring wouldn't launch prematurely. And it would wait until the West Clock Baby Ben hit the time that the alarm was set for, and off it would go. The battery would melt the retainer, the firing pin would launch, the balloon would fill up and go out into space. And it would stay there for a while. But the solar winds, that was a big problem back then. You remember that? The solar winds?
I don't. I remember working in series and parallel with batteries, but... Boy, you know, that's where I learned how to be a boy scientist. It was that little workbook that we had, a boy engineer. Do you remember those books?
Well, I do remember the Erector set. I do remember the Chemcraft chemistry set.
Yeah, Chemcraft chemistry sets. I used to make rocket ships. Actually, I was learning how to make a pipe bomb, but I called it a rocket ship. And I remember going out to these big gravel pits to see how good I did. I put fins on the thing and everything. But it was a pipe bomb.
Yeah, well, if you opened up one end, it wouldn't be a pipe bomb. It would be a rocket, right? That's the difference
between... Well, then that's how it worked, you know. And what I did is I folded the metal over so it would be just enough that when the explosion went off, it would blow the, out the end. And hopefully the fins would keep it stable. It didn't work. I found it in a neighbor's garage, rough, 6 blocks away. It was a long time ago when I did that.
Yeah. That was when it was okay and people didn't get arrested for that kind of stuff, right?
No, you learned how to mix just the right amount of sulfur with saltpeter and carbon. And you could make gun cotton with a little bit of nitric acid. And then you could go downhill from there and really have fun.
Now, gun cotton is simply, from my memory, gun cotton is simply cotton, you know, like a ball of cotton.
Yeah, dipped into nitroglycerin and a couple of other acids, and then it would, you know, put behind a door, and then when they opened the door would explode off the hinges. It was a lot of fun. I got kicked out of school for doing that.
Yeah, I didn't get quite to that point, but the getting kicked out part. So what we did was we now have this reflective ball made out of Mylar in the Clark belt, and it's geosynchronous, so it's staying sort of put where we left it. But the problem was the solar wind would kind of blow it east or west, and so they had to come up with. You know, this is before they launched it. They knew this was going to be a problem. So they came up with these little kind of, we'll call them parachutes. And they put a parachute on the east side and a parachute on the west side, tied on. And the idea was if they had a fan, and this is way before electronics and jet propulsion. So, I mean, we were using mechanical means to make things happen. These were the early days, the 1930s. So we had this fan, and they had a contest. Who could make the fan for this particular space launch? And there was a company called Emerson. And Emerson made really good fan blades and had electric motors. And they made one that ran on DC, which was a pretty big deal. And so the fan would blow against these two parachutes. They actually had two fans, one on the east side, one on the west side. And what happened was Emerson made the fan and the fan motor and the fan blades. And in order to cut costs, they had one stamping of the fan blades. So the plan was to put the fan blades on one way on the east side and just turn the fan blade over for the west side, and it would work fine because both fans would push against these little parachutes, which were like sails. And but when Emerson made it, they forgot to turn over the other fan blade. So what happened was one pushed and one pulled. And that's why Emerson doesn't make fans anymore, because the mistake was so great, they had to stop making fans because nobody would buy an Emerson fan because they knew they didn't work. So they had to start making air conditioning compressors and air conditioning units, you know, window units. So, you know, that's the story about Emerson. So anyway, the idea was that the solar wind was a big problem. And they had to, and these D-cells that were made by Eveready had to last long enough so that they could turn on these fans to push this reflective mylar ball back into the box. We'll call it a box. And that would be up, down, you know, east, west, so that it would be in the right position to reflect the signals from the transmitter on Earth. And that was built by a company called Radio Corporation of America. You remember those guys?
No, I remember Heathkit. That's what I remember.
Well, okay. Well, the problem was that in order to make the transmitter work properly, it had to be cold. Some electronics. Electronics that don't have moving parts seem to work best when it's cold. That's why computers need to have cooling fans, because if they get warm, I mean, I'm talking about today's computers, if they get warm, they overheat and they stop working. They kind of melt down. So what they, and that's why we had to buy Alaska. Remember Swords Icebox?
Well, no, I don't. I don't remember any of that. I was mostly working with Lionel trains.
Okay. Well, I guess we went to different schools together, Rick.
Yeah.
So I learned about Seward's Icebox, and you know, Russia owned Alaska. And for a few million dollars, we bought Alaska. And nobody wanted it. Well, we were told nobody wanted Alaska because it was just not ice. But for this space project, we needed Alaska because we needed to put the transmitter in the ice to keep it cool so that we get enough radio transmission. We'll call it, it's not bandwidth, it would be the equivalent of amperage. Actually it was in watts, right? They measured it in megawatts. Back then you needed a lot of power in order to reach the Clark belt. So we had to bury the transmitter in the ice. And in order to do that, we needed a big block of ice. And the biggest block that we could find was Alaska. So we bought Alaska. And the Russians had no idea that that's why we wanted to buy Alaska. Because of the space race.
Ice, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
So, as a result, there were all kinds of problems, but there were some benefits to the first satellite. So, EverReady claimed that they could build a leak-proof dry cell, and so they invented Saran Wrap to keep the dry cells from leaking. And that worked. And then, but Mallory... The Mallory batteries had all kinds of problems. Even though they were innovative and they created all kinds of inventions, they had pollution problems. And in 1978, they ended up getting bought by Dart Industries. And you know them today as Duracell. But they did not enter the production of the first satellite. And then Rayovac batteries, well, they still leak. So they'd be like the stepchild of the battery industry. And Radio Corporation of America, they couldn't get the transmitter to work. So they went out of, they had changed their name. So instead of being called Radio Corporation of America, they changed their name to RCA. And they started making 78 RPM records. So they became like a record company. So that's the story of the first attempt that the United States had at making a reflective type of satellite.
There's a memory effect, you know, in nickel-cadmium batteries, especially the rechargeable ones. If a nickel-cadmium battery is recharged before it's fully discharged, it forgets that it's able to discharge any more energy. Did you know that?
Yeah, so what you're saying
is... For example,
is,
you know, pretend a battery is capable of storing 100 units of energy.
Mm-hmm.
If you use 40 units then charge the battery up to 100 units. In your mind, the battery contains 100 units, but the memory effect means the battery essentially only can release up to 40 units of energy.
Yeah, so it thinks the and this is nickel cadmium. So
yes.
It thinks so it used to think that dead was zero and fully charged was 100. But if you bring it down to 40% and then you charge it, now it thinks the bottom being dead is 40%. And then so if you keep charging it when it's almost fully charged, then it thinks maybe the bottom is 95%. So you've lost most of the storage capacity of the nickel-cadmium battery because of the memory effect. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, but the energy used to manufacture a rechargeable or single-use battery is 50 times greater than the electrical energy that they produce when they are being discharged. Did you know that?
And is that why the China Tesla...
They make all the batteries now, yeah.
Who does?
China. Excuse me, yes.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I think that's why the Tesla is having so many problems. So when it first starts out, let's say it goes 100 miles on a full charge, then you charge it, and then tomorrow it goes 99 miles.
And one nickel-cadmium mobile phone or power tool battery is enough to pollute 600,000 liters of water. That's equivalent to a third of an Olympic-sized swimming pool.
Mm-hmm. And we had nowhere near that amount of pollution when we had the carbon-zinc battery, because we could reuse the remaining zinc.
Yeah, but the Tom's heavy duty is often misleading. There are no really industrial standards for batteries, so many times the terms used for battery manufacturers become misleading. You know, they say it's heavy-duty batteries are often the least-powered batteries you can buy. Did you know that?
Well, you're probably talking about Harbor Freight, because they...
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact, in China, yeah.
Yeah, and if you pick up a whole 24-pack of Harbor Freight batteries, you know, whatever that, I believe it's about 24, these little AA cells in a package, it doesn't weigh very much. And you go, geez, you know, it's not much mass here. How can they make a heavy-duty battery that weighs hardly anything? Well, all you have to do is try one and see how long it lasts. And heavy-duty is a relative term. So you'll find out that a Harbor Freight dry cell, which is the old type of carbon-zinc battery. Actually, it's a dry cell. It's really not a battery. You have to have a couple dry cells at least in series to make a battery. So a battery is multiple dry cells. But we call them batteries, even though they're not batteries. We use that generic term. But the Harbor Freight is probably the worst dry cell in terms of capacity on the planet. And if you weigh one of them, and let's say you weigh a Duracell or an Energizer or even a leaky Rayovac, they weigh way more than the Harbor Freight heavy-duty cells, right?
I remember when fuel cells were being made, and the Daniels cell was when they put a copper plate inside the bottom of a glass and a copper sulfate solution was poured over the plate. Then you had zinc to worry about.
And the result was, what would you do with all the hydrogen that it made, right?
Well, then that's what caused global warming.
And you know, it's really interesting because people think it's not that. They think it's freon.
Yeah, well, you know, zinc is for old men.
Yeah. Well, Rick, we're going into top of the hour break, news and commercial announcements.
Other than buy my books, I'm desperate. Starving artist comes to mind.
There's lots more
where that came from.
How do we buy your books, Rick?
Go directly to my website, richardallenmiller.com. Go to the bookstore.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.